Welcome to Mamorn Audio. This is the second part of a posting to the Usenet newsgroup alt.sex.spanking in the late 90s from an anonymous correspondent identifying herself only as H. She writes, "Since I've had some nice emails since I published an account of my own experience of UK slippering, I thought I'd continue it in two further parts. I wrote firstly about my school, which was a mixed grammar in Northern England, which I left in 1966. Although corporal punishment for boys was quite common, slipper and cane, for girls it was less usual, though the slipper was used from time to time. In my own case I got it just once, in the third form. Four belts, over my skirt, which stung but was nothing like as bad as I used to get at home. However, there may be more interest in my experiences at home, since I did outgrow the slipper. By the time I was about 14, my mum decided that the effort involved length of time, number of belts, in giving me a suitable hiding with a gym slipper was too great. I did expect, or hope at the time that she might decide I was too old for corporal punishment, but of course she knew that my school still used it commonly on boys of my age, and very occasionally the odd slippering for a girl. However, the main decider was that a couple of her friends with children of the same age as me still regarded it as useful for their offspring, including one with a daughter. I was an only child and my father was away quite a lot on business. I think mother felt the need to keep me under control and followed the peer group pressure of her friends. I wasn't badly behaved by any means, I submit. We were a perfectly respectable middle-class family, but the use of CP on me had simply become established. Perhaps I have given the wrong impression. I wasn't beaten at all often. Really, it was very infrequent. During the time between starting secondary school and the age of 14, she had occasion to punish me corporally perhaps four times with the slipper. Anyway, shortly after administering a thorough tanning which apparently made her arm ache, which was nothing to my bottom's response, to my horror, and having been alerted by one of her friends, my mum found an advert in some paper for punishment canes. She wrote off for a couple, specifying, as the advert requested, the age and sex of the intended recipient. The disquiet with which I received this news was considerably heightened when they arrived. Two swishy canes with the traditional crook handles. To let me know what I was in for, my mother showed me the instructions, a small leaflet which I was surprised to see had been sent with them. I can still recall pretty clearly the gist of what it said. It must have left a deep impression. Although given my later developing interests, it's not surprising. Perhaps my recollection of these might be of interest before I go on. I wish I still had a copy, but my memory is almost indelibly printed with the details. Apparently, the canes were specially recommended by virtue of length and thickness for girls in their mid-teens and over. For some reason I hadn't anticipated that they would vary according to the age and sex of the recipient, and it shocked me to consider that some thought had gone into determining what was appropriate for my teenage female bottom. It caused me to dwell for some time on whether boys' bottoms were much tougher, since to me the canes seemed thicker and longer than I had expected. There was a lot of hype about their traditional use, along the lines of their efficiency as implements for chastisement, the material and the location of the punishment being suited for administering considerable but short-lived pain without any lasting damage. The flexibility of the genuine school punishment cane, unlike garden canes, was described as their main virtue, producing a stinging effect without much severity of application. The instructions did comment that there was no doubt whatsoever that this applied just as much to the bottom of a girl, and that by mid-teens it was distinctly preferable as a means of punishment for girls, since natural female modesty meant that punishment could be administered quickly and without fuss, and without the embarrassment likely to be created for the girl getting and staying in position during a spanking or chastisement by another instrument. I remember all this well because I found it very frightening and stimulating, and because the instructions were later followed to the letter. They stated quite strongly that punishment of girls at home should be by the mother if at all possible, and for safety reasons, as for boys, always be given on the bottom. Punishment on the bare bottom was counseled against in all normal circumstances, being considered unnecessarily humiliating, but it was recommended that skirts or dresses, in view of their variable thickness, be lifted by the recipient and the punishment received across the knickers usually worn. I recall the particular point made that the punishment should be administered following an established routine or ritual, after a suitable delay for the child to appreciate their impending fate and to avoid heat of the moment punishment. Making the girl bend over the back of an ordinary chair, or preferably an armchair, was recommended, in the girl's bedroom if possible, or if not, in another room such as a living room, without other members of the family present, with sufficient room to swing the cane. The instructions recommended that for the first punishment, 3 strokes should be given, rising to 6 for normal punishments, with an absolute maximum of 8 strokes. They also gave advice on the technique and severity which, whilst very reasonable, made me feel rather sick with anticipation. It was recommended that each stroke should be applied with equal force, the severity of the punishment being varied by adjusting the number of strokes, and should never be hard enough to break the skin. Some relief. It was recommended that the appropriate strength could be achieved by lining the cane up across the intended position of the stroke, then taking it back in an arc until pointing directly away from the directing in which the girl was bending. It was to be brought to the mother's shoulder height and then brought down firmly, neither gently nor violently, to land horizontally on the knickers across both buttocks at the same time. The technique of a last second flick of the wrist is mentioned as being appropriate when more experience had been gained. The instructions recommended practice with a cushion or pillow laid over the chair to be used. This procedure was recommended to be followed for each stroke, which should be given at regular intervals of about 10 seconds, actually quite a long time, giving sufficient time for each stroke to take effect. Consistency of the swing was described, I can recall vividly, as being, as in tennis or golf, the secret of accuracy. The advice concluded by saying that each stroke should, if possible, to avoid damaging the skin and to maximize the discomfort, be applied in separate descending horizontal lines, starting midway down the full extent of the buttocks and ending just above the top of the thighs, and so designed to cover the area involved when sitting. Having read all this procedure, naturally I was in considerable trepidation of earning my first dose.